All right, call the meeting.
Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order of the Accommodations Tax Advisory Committee today, Tuesday, October 18th, 2022. And I call to order and acknowledge that the press and the public have been duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. I would like to make one comment. I apologize for wearing a hat. I don't think it's appropriate, but I had some serious surgery last week on my head, and I don't think you want to see that bandage. So that's the only reason I have it on there. I feel a little bit better about not showing off my wound. Okay, that done. Approval of previous meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
To accept?
So moved.
Second? Okay, second. Any discussion? Any changes? Okay. Since all in favor of approving the minutes? Aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. Financial statements. Debbie, are you prepared to give us a review of the financial statements?
Sure. For September 30, 2022. Not a whole lot on here other than to point out that there is $7 million in cash in the state aid tax fund, and that would all be 65% funds at this point. Next page is revenues. We haven't received any quarterly payment from the state for FY23 so far, and that's normal. The only thing showing then is interest. So that's 3 months' worth of interest. The funds predominantly here for the state aid tax fund and for all city funds. Excess funds are invested with the local government investment pool, which is managed by the state treasurer. That way we have overnight liquidity on those funds, but they are invested to maximize interest in instruments that are approved under the state law. So that's a very nice service that the treasurer's office provides. And I believe the interest rate is above 2% right now, which it had been much lower than that. Moving on to expenditures. Public restroom operations, ongoing expenditures related to that building, including insurance, paper products, cleaning, and the attendant, who is a part-time city employee. So that attendant is paid for out of the general fund. What you're seeing here is the transfer that comes out of the state aid tax fund into the general fund to cover his payroll and fringes. Expenses associated with the trash pickup on the beach and on the street side at the end of the beach pass. You can see irrigation at Breach Inlet sign. It's a small amount, but we're already over budget because apparently there was a leak. We did get a big credit against the leak, but we're still going to be running over budget slightly. It won't amount to much, but just wanted to point out that kind of abnormality. Yes, expenses associated with replacing the curb on Ocean Boulevard. This was included in the budget. And this area is right in front of the windjammer if you want to pay attention next time you're down there to see it.
I just wanted to expand on that a little bit. So this last year we started a quarterly meeting with our businesses just to improve communications and hear from them what are some of the issues that they're being impacted by, and how can the city council and city government can help them. Obviously, we have a very strong tourism community here. So those meetings have been very productive. They've been great. One of the things that came up from our folks and our partners down at Front Beach was the lack of a zoning, loading zone in front of the Windjammer that was creating traffic backups on Ocean Boulevard when the deliveries were being made. It's not an issue in the off season, but when it's the summer and people are, you know, swarming our Front Beach area, it is. So that was something that came up from folks there, and you know, we looked at it and created a project and asked City Council for funds to do so. So it's already completed. You can take a look at it now, but it's just a new loading zone in front of the Windjammer so that when deliveries are being made, they can park there and traffic can flow easily rather than having to stop until the deliveries are made. So small project, but very impactful.
Moving on, next page, you can see the 4th of July fireworks. We paid the balance on the July 4th, 2022 show. And you can see that that project in total is $2,000 over budget. But there was a $10,000 increase from the last time we had a fireworks show in the cost. So from 2019 to this year, $10,000 more for the show itself, which is the reason that we're over budget here. I did not get Desiree to add this to the agenda, so we'll vote. I'll have y'all vote on this at a future meeting. Next is some recreation, some work at the recreation playground. Purchased some new playground equipment. And on the next page, you can see we had a purchase of the replacing the holiday tree that goes in the Front Beach area. That was included in the budget, and the purchase was within budget.
Can I ask a question about that? Mm-hmm. Was the tree itself $20,000, or is that a decor?
No. It might have some pre-placed lights and the real
one
on
there?
No.
No. No, okay.
It's an artificial
tree. Artificial
tree. And the last one, we used it for about 10 years.
Gotcha.
So this was just the time to replace it.
Okay.
Okay. Next page, we had some... the budget included replacing one patrol SUV in the police department. What we're seeing here, this $10,000 amount, is equipment that will eventually be put in the vehicle that has been ordered but not received. Also purchased, according to the budget, LSV for the police department. That's a replacement vehicle as well. And then, here, this is it. In Public Works, second to the last page, replaced a pickup truck, Ford F-150. And then finally, on the last page, we made the payment to the Isle of Palms Chamber of Commerce for $10,000 and the Carolina Coast Surf Club sponsorship of $1,000.
Is that all?
That's all I have.
Okay. Next item of business.
Could I ask a couple of questions? Just want to make sure. This is for my edification and for others. On the $2.7 million that we're holding in cash in from ATAX funds, are we required to spend that within 2 years?
We are.
And the way we do this is on a FIFO basis rather than LIFO? I hope everybody knows what that means. First in, first out. So that's the way we take care of that. Second thing was when was the state the timeline? When was the state required to give us our money? What was the due date? I know it comes in late, but what was the due date on the ATAX money that the state pays us?
There is a due date. I mean, they're not required to get it to us by any particular time that I know of. But it comes on a quarterly basis.
On a quarterly basis. When's it coming in? For this quarter.
I'd have to check what's normal, but...
July, August, September.
September would be the first quarter.
the end of September, and then they have to collect it. It's probably going to be November.
Okay. All right. And then we, so do we pay ahead of time or in arrears? When we get the money, do we pay the 30% to our DMO when it comes in?
Absolutely. That's correct. Okay. We don't pay them until we get paid.
When do we make our last payment?
To the?
To CVB.
I don't know off the top of my head. I would guess it would be probably July. Or
this August. Fiscal year. When that was like $826,000 for the quarter, for the first quarter.
That's I don't have that. I didn't prepare that schedule.
Okay, all right.
So what?
I was just trying to figure out the timeline. I'm not questioning the appropriateness of it. I'm just trying to get wrap this around my mind. Who gets what when?
When we receive the quarterly payment from the state.
Okay.
Have a spreadsheet that calculates what the 30% amount is, and then we would cut a check to the CVB for that amount.
Okay.
So we get paid quarterly, and we pass through to them quarterly.
Okay. And just for everybody's edification, since there's been so much in the newspaper lately, by law, we're required to give the 30% when we receive it. It's almost an automatic payment, according to who we've designated to receive the money, in this case, CVB. Is that right?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. And I appreciate you giving us the expenditures. That's really not our bailiwick, is it, to oversee it or approve it? You're giving this to us just for information purposes?
The expenditures that I just reviewed?
Right.
Well, for the most part, those are the 65% expenditures,
right,
which this committee does have a review over.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I understand. Thanks.
Okay. Next item is old business, which there is none. So we'll move to new business. First item is a quarterly presentation from CVB. Laurie Smith and Chris Campbell will lead.
Can I make a motion to rearrange the agenda? I noticed we have some people here that have an application. I'm not sure whether we want to. I would like to accommodate everybody, but theirs might be moved along quicker than Laurie's. I want to accommodate everybody, but my thought is that we've historically.
The folks that are here from Coastal Family Vacation, are you in a rush of any sort?
No.
Okay.
Then
well,
if they're not, then
we'll just go along with the schedule as it's laid out then. Laurie and Chris, it's all yours.
Desiree, is this okay from a? Do I need this mic?
You know what? I'll put them a little bit just in case.
Okay. Didn't know if I was paying attention to this mic or that.
We're transitioning. It'll be much better very soon. There you go.
All right. Well, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be back. We appreciate a chance to touch base on the activity over the first quarter, July 23, July through September time frame. I'm Chris Campbell. Met most of you, but just as a quick refresher, I'm the Director of Strategy and Communication with Explore Charleston, and with me is Laurie Smith, who is our Chief Operating Officer. So this morning we've organized our presentation into three sections. I'll provide a general market overview, touching on some IOP-specific research numbers. Then Laurie and I will tag team a review of our marketing activity through the first quarter. And then Laurie will wrap it up with a look ahead at some of the IOP-related initiatives that we have in the works over the next several months. So as I begin and move towards the market overview, I wanted to reiterate a few points that we've shared in prior conversations, but to really touch on the importance of the market research and analysis that we invest in. You know, we really do remain committed to identifying a full library of resources that help us keep tabs on the industry and even more specifically how our submarkets are performing. So those market intelligence and market research and business intelligence tools are critically important, and today I'm going to focus a little bit more on Key Data, which is a short-term rental platform that we've been using for the last 18 months or so. And we use these, of course, to help identify trends and need times and things of that nature to inform our our research, our strategy around marketing. And this work is all aimed for the purpose of rate integrity and, of course, driving that critically important revenue, which is so important to the projects that Debbie just mentioned, you know, for the island, so important to businesses, as well as the overall economic impact for the community. And ultimately, that economic impact is what represents the ROI on these state aid tax dollars that are invested into state into tourism promotion. So looking at the general industry overview, I want to touch on a few high points before getting into that key data I mentioned. And some of these things will be a little bit familiar to a couple of you who I know were able to be with us at our recent Travel Council meeting in September. And Dr. Guttentag from the College of Charleston Office of Tourism Analysis provided a nice state of the industry update at that point in time. From a broad perspective, again, a little bit of this will be national, a little bit of this will be regional, and a little bit of this will be local. We are continuing to enjoy a better-than-anticipated post-pandemic recovery. No doubt about that. It's reflected, certainly, in the revenue numbers here locally as well. And that does continue across not just the island but and beach communities, but region-wide throughout the county. We've been very fortunate over the last two years to enjoy this full recovery, and I think it's important to reiterate that it's an anomaly, if you will, to the rest of the industry on a national landscape. We really have been ahead of the curve, and certainly beaches have been even further ahead of the curve, much like mountain and national park communities. Now, the numbers do indicate that pent-up leisure demand continues, and we're excited to see that group travel and even business travel does continue to grow as well. Of note, there are some early signs that the pre-pandemic, we are returning to pre-pandemic traveler behavior. So the numbers are starting to plateau in certain areas, and that's particularly being seen in some of our occupancy numbers. But an important note and caveat there is that the hotel ADR is plateauing, while vacation rental numbers, though, we still see continuing to climb in terms of rates. So that growth continues. Locally as well as across the region. There's a lot of increased competition, even compared to what it was when we were with you a year ago or 6 months ago. And in addition to the increased competition, more of the world is open. And by, I mean, the world literally. With international travel back since the spring in a robust way, the competition has never been greater for the attention of travelers and that the discretionary spend of those travelers. And they're being hit with a lot more marketing messages. One of the things that we feel is a key to our strength is that thanks to the investments of the community as well as the state, we have been able to keep a concerted push on our pandemic, on our messaging and our advertising throughout this pandemic environment, and we feel strongly that that is part of what has placed us in the position of being so far ahead of so many competing destinations. We've had some conversations with this group. I know, Chaz, I'm thinking about some questions you had at one point, I believe, about the looming recession. Certainly there are recessionary fears. Inflation is a very real thing, so there are some headwinds there. What we see in the numbers overall is that, and what experts are telling us from an industry perspective, is that that's probably going to impact rates more than it's going to impact demand. It's also going to impact group travel, or business travel, excuse me, important clarification, business travel before it's going to impact leisure travel. So then you'll see in a few minutes that the next 6 months still look very strong as far as our key indicators. So to some of those indicators, this slide represents the numbers from January through September of this year. So this is our year-to-date performance from a historical perspective. Again, actuals, and what we're comparing this to is last year. So year over year, what you're seeing in the two here at the top, average daily rate and paid and owner occupancy percentage, are the two KPIs that we report as part of our regular quarterly updates as well. So those two numbers you can see continue very strong through 2022, calendar year 22, 15% variance. And while there has been that dip I mentioned before in occupancy against the very strong, you know, higher than usual occupancy numbers we saw in the record-setting 21, that's still better than what the national and Southeast averages are according to key data. And then we do provide, for purposes of today's discussion, RevPAR, which just captures your occupancy. It's a calculation of your average daily rate and your occupancy. Gets a slightly more granular picture of performance in that way. And then average total stay value. Very strong indicators across the board through 2022 so far. And then I'll transition to the forward looking. And we always are doing this in 6 month increments through key data. Included October here, just since we're still in the middle of that month. Again, looking ahead, now we've got smaller numbers in terms of bookings, but the booking pace continues to look strong, and that's what this indicates. So looking at bookings on, you know, confirmed reservations today as compared to the number of confirmed reservations at the same point in time last year, that's what's reflected here. So you see again where that ADR growth shows up that I mentioned before, continuing to see a little bit of a dip compared to the robust occupancy, but RevPAR as well and average stay value continue to look very favorable as we look towards the spring also. So the goal there was to set some context to provide a little bit more insight into that key data tool and some of the short-term rental numbers. And at this point, I'm going to transition over to Laurie to start the marketing, media, and sales update.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having us today. So what we wanted to talk with you today about is not what Explore Charleston has been up to this last quarter in general, but what we've been up to specific to the commitments that we have been discussing with you all over the last couple of months related to what you want to see happening at Isle Palm. So that's what we're here to talk about today. And one of the most important items is related to research and performance items that we are committed to delivering to you all. This presentation will be available to you all, as will some of the key data reports for those of you who are interested in seeing that short-term rental information. So what we're looking to do is increase the exposure for the businesses on the island that are not members of Explore Charleston. So we have invited our members, your businesses on the island to participate in exploreiop.com. And we reached out to about 1,000 businesses on the island through the city's contact list. And we heard from a handful. We were disappointed in the response that we got the first go-around, so that's something that we're going to continue to pursue. This is a free listing that will go to exploreiop.com, and any business on the island is invited to participate. So take a look at how you'll get there. When someone types in exploreiop.com, this is how it looks. We've spent a little time going further into filters so that people don't have to just scroll and scroll and scroll through various categories. Someone looking for lodging or restaurants can look to see and do that. So we will continue reaching out to expand the amount of businesses that we have on this platform. So how are we going to get people there? So we've got the platform now. We have to put some money into getting folks to exploreiop.com. Part of the way that we're doing that is through our paid Google display. So when someone's on Google and they type in Isle of Palms, we have displays that will show up on the right-hand side. It probably won't locally because that's not where we want people to be. Not who our audience is, but these will show up in paid displays on the right-hand side, and all of these ads click over to directly to exploreiop.com. We've also invested in videography. Video is how people, one of the top ways that people are consuming information these days, and so we've been working with Five Media to create some videography for you all. These are snippets from the same video in different formats. The one on the left, your left, is meant for a mobile device. The one on the right is more for a laptop display. So let's take a look at these just real quick, if I can navigate there. On to first videos to get us started that allow us to push paid content out on social media. This, again, is the mobile platform that you can see, Instagram, Facebook, Reels, and then the broader platform, another social media push. We've got to have content in order to push that information out. We also have organic social media. So Explore Charleston has a very robust social media campaign that is unpaid, that is organic. And we've got several highlights of Isle of Palms the last quarter.
Talk a little bit more about some additional video. So another exciting thing we entered into post-pandemic, and then got even more specific with some new content over the course of the first quarter, is a digital investment with Sinclair Broadcasting. And this OTT campaign has been running an outdoor-focused commercial. We're not, in the interest of time, going to share that. We've got other snippets we want to share as well, that lifts up some of the attributes that maybe aren't as readily top of mind to travelers. So a lot of the waterways, beaches, there's been, golf, of course, some of those outdoor activities that we see as attributes, and that does include some footage that was captured here on the Isle of Palms, and that has been streamed out through the Sinclair OTT network to over 600,000 households in our drive market, which is we define that as a 6-hour radius at present, and then 2.1 million households in our direct fly metro areas. Looking at another video here, and then I'll speak about it.
Meanwhile, I've just got a boring British name. So I guess if I was to have a surfer name, I would deserve something like Johnny Flossum. Because I was just bobbing about in the swell, trying to ride into the shore, but basically just being pushed around by the waves. Kai taught me a few surfing terms, and one of them was Barney, which means an uncool dude. And compared to Kai Dilling, I am 100% Barney.
So let me give you a little context about this one. This one is, that clip is from Adventure Cities, which is a brand new series on Discovery. It's also on distributed via, that's obviously the national channel Discovery, also distributed via Outdoor TV. It's now streaming. It aired originally in mid-September. And the relationship actually with Jonathan Thompson, the host, is very interesting. A few years ago, Jonathan, you can tell, from England, was part of the British Guild of Travel Writers when we hosted them in 2019. And as that relationship evolved and his career evolved, when he had this opportunity with Discovery, had the new series, he reached out to us, and that relationship allowed us to influence some of the content when they did a featured segment during one of their first episodes about the Charleston area. And what I really like here is that this lifts up again some of those attributes that aren't as readily apparent. Obviously, the Adventure Cities name says a lot. So we were very excited that they were receptive to IOP specific content as part of that series. And then one more. There we go. Looks like that is going to stream as well. Yes. And this is no sound to this one. This is an example. This is a actual Instagram post. And while that's going, what I want to share is this happened actually just last week. So, yes, we're getting a little bit outside of the first quarter, but indulge us for just a moment if you would. So Crew for Two is an experiential marketing agency that we've had a relationship with. and they organize FAMs, familiarization tours. And we work with them for years, and they reached out to our media team when they were working on a trip for this fall, and they wanted to be island-focused. And they asked if we would be interested in helping with some of the itinerary. And that opened the door for us to pitch a night at the marina and Islander 71. And Chrissy's team could not have been more accommodating from the get-go and facilitating this and hosting a great dinner with these guests, which you can see were from some very A-list publications, including New York Times, Forbes, Cosmo, and Good Morning America. So, again, we've already seen a little bit of content that they one of them posted last week while they were here. Don't have any of that yet. We wouldn't expect to see a lot yet from their visit. But we are excited that, again, another relationship that has been one we've had for several years opened the door to us helping generate some IOP-specific content. And thank you to Islander 71 for incredible support and being gracious hosts.
So now we're going to turn to print. While print is not dominant like it once was, it still has a place because people are still consuming information that way. So this first quarter, our print placements were geared around our beaches campaign. And we had a placement in AAA Ohio, which has almost 500,000 members in the Columbus area. And you can see the creative here. We also had a placement in Discover South Carolina, which is the publication that the state releases that helps to promote the state of South Carolina. Both of those were beach-focused. So while Isle of Palms was included, it was not the sole focus. Now, turning to group sales, as Chris mentioned, leisure has been booming. People taking vacations, it's easier to pivot and decide that you want to go out of town this weekend. If you're a meeting planner that is coordinating a 500-person meeting, that takes a little bit longer lead time. So group business is returning, and our group sales team never got off the road. But this last quarter, they were at six different shows. Three of these were in August. Three were just the past couple of weeks in October. The American Society of Association Executives actually produced two solid leads for Wild Dunes. They came from the Rayburn Group International and the Trauma Center Association of America. If they book, it could mean 1,000 room nights to the Isle of Palms. IMEX America, our team just got back from this trade show. Gloria can actually speak to this trade show really well. It's the largest trade show for meeting planners and event planners in the country. And our team just returned. There were 12,000 attendees there this year. And Virtuoso is a very influential group of travel advisors, the new name for travel agents. And they're telling us that their clients and consumers are still looking for outdoor, for recreation, and for beach vacations. So that was all encouraging. We've also included a section in our tool, Meet Charleston, which is the tool that we use with our meeting planners and event planners who are looking to come here and book group business. And so we've got a new addition to that tool that focuses on what planners can do and how they can enjoy, or how their attendees can enjoy, the Isle of Palms. Now let's look ahead at Q2 and beyond. To begin with, we're really excited about the new position. Desiree and her team are going to be hiring a staff person who will be focused on public relations and working with us from a tourism perspective. I'm really excited about that because it will allow us a singular voice to help with how we're molding things and moving things forward. They can hear from you all, we can hear from you all, and together we can make some of these decisions that are specific to Isle of Palms promotions. We're going to continue the push for greater participation on exploreiop.com. Since we're putting money behind getting to that particular site, we want to increase the number of businesses that will have exposure there. We're working on a new family-focused video. Chairman Burns and I had coffee a couple weeks ago, and one of the things that he mentioned was heavy focus on family, which is no surprise. So we know that we need some more tools in our arsenal that speak to that audience. And once we have that, we will put them through the streaming campaign that you heard from Chris with Sinclair Broadcasting. We'll continue with our paid Google displays as well as our continued pushes on social media outlets. We also talked a little bit about research, so I'm curious to see where your conversation goes today as far as some of the tools that you'd like to see from us. So we have research as a question mark on the agenda to hear what it is specifically you'd like to see in that realm. We're open to that. So this is just a sample of upcoming placements, and this is some of the creative that is specific to Isle of Palms, with the narrative being all about Isle of Palms, and these are some of the placements that we have planned in the next couple of months. Photography. We've started with three of the hotels, interior and exterior shots, but we desperately need photography for the island, and we're working on that list. We look forward to working with your new staff person in getting a more comprehensive list, and all of the photography that we have, of course, will be shareable with the city as well as with the chamber. And then we have a slew of upcoming trade shows coming as well. So we have a lot on the docket for the coming year, and we are pleased to be here today. We'd be happy to take any questions.
I have a question on the research part. Could you explain how Keep Data gets their data on the short-term rental market? How do they capture
Absolutely.
That information?
Great question.
Excellent question. So there's a two-part process, and they actually pull and analyze data by, they call it scraping the platforms, Airbnb, VRBO, et cetera, daily for both historical and forward-looking data. And then the second part is there actually some Key Data has developed partnerships with certain property management organizations, property managers, and they have direct access through connection to those reservation systems. So there's a PMS coordination there that allows them to, through that partnership, also receive that information.
That's interesting. Can you, in your chart that you had that ADR and those things, mm-hmm. it is that both hotel and short-term rentals, or is that just hotels? Or
great question. That is just short-term rentals. So anytime we...
Not hotels.
No, sir. Anytime I'm mentioning Key Data, that is purely vacation, STR, vacation, rental, exclusively. Great clarification. Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions?
Sure. I have a question for you guys. So on the examples that we saw, specifically... looking at IOP, the IOP targeted. Are those examples of the things where we are allocated at 100% of fund match?
Are you...
The ones yeah. in the that we've just done, those are your participation in the beach campaign.
Yep.
Moving forward are the ones that we're looking at that are 100% IOP, and we'd hope to work with your staff person before we delve into that, just to make sure we're all on the same page with regard to creative and the words that we're using. So that second piece of creative that you saw was geared more towards Isle of Palms specific. And when we share this with you, you'll be able to read what we've got. It'll be a little easier to see when we send this out to you.
Sure. And then if it's IOP specific on the creative, would there be a reason to not have the URL going to exploreiop.com as opposed to Explore Charleston?
It is. And then, yes, sir.
As we've been able to get that website more robust and make it a more attractive and user-friendly destination, we are migrating, as a matter of fact, in that sample print copy. You probably can't see it there, but it'll be to Explore IOP instead of Explore Charleston.
Yeah, so we're trying to, at the same time, build the content for that
site
as well as send promotional... direct people to there.
Awesome.
So we're trying to do those in conjunction.
Perfect.
Yeah,
right. And just to also kind of tag on to, to Ray's point about families and children, the one sense that I kind of get from the advertising that was shown here was almost like day tripping to Isle of Palms.
Okay.
And maybe we need to expand that so that people understand when they come to the island that the vast majority of homes here are actually available for rental.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And from cottages to mansions.
Yes.
Right. And we have that opportunity. Because by and large, what I'm kind of get the sense of is go to a restaurant, go play golf, etc. But really come from Charleston to do that, not come to Isle of Palms. And I would like to see maybe, a campaign flipping that around a little bit.
That's great feedback.
Great, thank you so
much. Our mission at the end of the day, in a nutshell, is book a room night. So that's always what we're trying to do. But I can see how, through your eyes, it was seen. I've heard you, and we'll work on that.
Thank you.
Just to kind of tag along with that, but those particular ads would be marketed to destinations from off. You're seeing it, I think, through the eyes of a local, but if you're coming from off in a different location, that's where they're going to be targeted. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, the target audience, we won't see many of these unless your IP address is dialed into, you know, DC or Charlotte.
So it's all experiential. When you come to visit and stay, these are the things, fun things that you can do.
Correct.
So you'll hear. Right.
Good point. Yes, ma'am.
You hear from us a lot of this, trying to lift up the attributes that are unique to the island, but you make a great point that we don't want to promote that in the context of day tripping, certainly. I will, if I may, bring it back to your point, Chaz, also come back to research. What this tool also allows us to do, and yet research, while this is more, I would call it, than directional, we understand that when they're scrubbing these systems and creating these relationships with PMS systems, they don't have 100% guaranteed reflective of all the markets. Same with our hotel data, by the way. But I did dig in a little bit more, and not surprisingly, IOP has by far the largest inventory of larger STRs, right? Vacation rental properties. So when there, I think it's like 70 compared to less than 20 at Folly or Kiowa each. So maybe in there, part of it is some messaging more about types of properties and not just the vacation rental market as a whole.
I'm thinking again,
this was real time. I found this last night, so I haven't vetted this with anybody. But again, as we look to how we differentiate different parts of our submarkets, that's the type of stuff the research also allows.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Well, thank you very much. That was an excellent presentation, Laurie.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Next item is consideration of the ATAX grant application from the Coastal Family Vacation Foundation. Sorry, I don't know your name, so
it's in the application. Deanna Dockery.
I am Deanna Dockery. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Deanna.
I'll give you guys a two-for-one card is what I call it. We're hoping to hit two audiences with these. These are our general cards. They're not in response to any matching grants or anything. That we weren't committed to publicize any one of these cards except for ourselves. So I live in Folly Beach. I'm the president of Coastal Family Vacation Foundation.
Okay.
And this is my husband, Bob, out here. We are full-time residents at Folly Beach. And about 15 months ago, I had a 39-year-old cousin call me up and wanted to come bring her kids down for spring break. And Stephanie was, she was battling malignant melanoma. And so her parents and her children came down, but we were undergoing some construction and couldn't fit a large group, and so we started looking around, and I realized not only just how hard it is to get a great location, a great rental at the last minute, but how expensive it is. And as we spent some time with Stephanie and her family, we just had a real burden placed on our heart, wondering how many other families just need a minute to step back from treatments and doctor's appointments and stress and reconnect with their children and with their parents. So we decided to start the foundation. We're about 15 months old. We got our IRS designation and we received it Christmas week and started the new year running. We had a fundraiser in the spring. We brought in about $11,000. We brought in about, I think, $9,000 in other donations and $21,000 so far in grants. We've awarded three vacations thus far. They will all be taken at Folly Beach. Probably have enough funding to do another two to three vacations in Folly Beach. and we would like to offer a vacation in Isle of Palms. And we have a website, we have a social media presence, and what we do is we call up cancer treatment centers and oncologists across the state, and we like to get buy-in from their staff to have them help us choose who a good candidate is. And then there's a formal nomination package that's on our website, and they have to be nominated by their treating physician. We're not in the business of who's deserving or who's sick enough or who's too sick, but we do provide an all-inclusive vacation, which would mean up to 7 nights lodging, a gas stipend, a grocery stipend, at least one meal out in a local restaurant. And then also, when we can, an amenity like bicycle rentals or a golf cart rental. So we believe that we're doing several things simultaneously. We are promoting great wholesome values in our Carolina coastline. We're also showing compassion to our neighbors across the state. And we are giving them time and resources to make some lifelong memories that otherwise they may not be able to. So we're asking for $6,000. We're committing to, if you do give us a grant, we will focus on putting a family, at least one family, here in Isle of Palms during your off season. I believe our application said we would commit to hosting that vacation before the end of May, if I'm not mistaken. We know we won't bring as many people as a big run or anything like that, but we do know we can launch a particular campaign highlighting Isle of Palms in medical offices across the state. And so that are people who often take vacations. They're aware, but they may not have been here. We're learning a lot of people have heard of Charleston Beaches, but have not actually been to Charleston Beaches. So that's what we are here for, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Well, thank you so much, and what a heartfelt organization that you are running, and that's really quite amazing. So thank you so much for your service. You mentioned that you had previously had grant monies approved. Mm-hmm. Are those grant monies specifically ATEX fund grants
so
that
far
you received?
So far, and we just got them last week.
Wow, and from which municipalities?
Just Folly Beach.
Just Folly Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Great, thank you.
Hi, thank you so much for being here. I want to just thank you for, you know, the work that you're doing. It is, you know, beyond measure the amount of humanity and charity to people who are really in need and who are deserving of a holiday and a vacation. And I can speak from experience because my husband did pass from cancer, and I truly understand where you're coming from. But also from a hospitality point of view, I just don't think it connects the dots for me for tourism and what ATAX is for in my own mind. And it's probably going to be a no for me. But I commend your spirit. And I think perhaps if we had a good cheer fund or a hope fund or something else from which, you know, to pass monies. But it just doesn't cut mustard for me for the tourism portion of it. But thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Well, maybe I'm just looking for clarification on the bucket of money. Like everybody is saying up here, of course, it's a charitable organization. I'm a family member. We've gone through it twice. But I just want to make sure the legality of it from ATAX, if there's a question.
So, help. When you all are evaluating programs and sponsorships, you obviously have to look at the definition in state law of what tourism-related expenditures are. I've reached out to Folly Beach, who have provided ATAX funding for this organization, and Their justification was the fact that it, you know, it could help in the advertisement and promotion of tourism to develop and increase tourist attendance through the generation of publicity. I mean, it's a very worthwhile organization that as it grows, it can, you know, bring good positive publicity to the Isle of Palms, being connected and supportive of an organization like that. I would also say that we would need to make sure that whoever is utilizing, whatever family is utilizing the services, do come from 50 miles away, so that it is not a day tripper, it's somebody spending time on the island, so that we meet the tourism or the tourist definition from state law. We've reached out to TARC. They likely will not issue an opinion on an expenditure ahead of time. They review all expenditures at the end of the year, just that, you know, we report on those. So very little guidance, I guess, in terms for us on, you know, does it meet the state law definition specifically? But I think that, you know, when you're looking at promotion and advertisement and doing something that would increase tourist attendance on the island, I think that you can see from that lens, certainly has passed the muster. Not to use your own term, but, you know, other ATAC committees have felt comfortable doing so. So I think that, you know, as such, I felt like they should have their opportunity to present to you all and answer your questions about the application.
So, in your opinion, you're saying it would be legal?
I think it could fit under that definition.
Okay.
You know, we've had other applications that, you know, it's sometimes difficult to know, and it's not a black and white answer. That's why we always will rely on TARC when they review those expenditures at the end of the year.
If some of the committee members don't feel like the ATAX is the place to go for this grant, is there anywhere else on Isle of Palms that they can go for this grant? Like, is the LENS program, or is that just for Isle of Palms individuals?
I don't know particularly with that LENS program. That's interesting. I've also put her in touch with the IOP Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, good.
Because I thought, you know, those members may be willing to donate as well. I haven't thought about the LENS program, not from any city fund that I would think. I think that because they're trying to touch and bring people from off island, off mm-hmm. Charleston region, mm-hmm. then the tourism component could be met there by using this as an opportunity to create advertisement and promotion of the island.
Right. Your program generally targets off-season, correct? Shoulder and
we try to. There are some families that have reached out, and due to surgeries, treatment, school schedules, there will be times that they have to come during the, or that's the only time they could come. But like I said, if we receive these funds, we would be willing to launch a targeted campaign, probably mostly in the upstate, maybe in the Midlands, to source a family who can come during the off season. And another thing is, as far as promoting tourism, I mean, we're guaranteeing heads in beds. I don't know how many that is. That's not many. But it's when they go back and tell their friends and family and their classmates about when they came to Isle of Palms. And then we also would like to, our goal is to create a video this year that'll be on YouTube. And so if we have a vacation in Isle of Palms, of course, we could feature Isle of Palms beaches and interviews and things like that over here.
By any chance, I mean, if you're not targeting high season, right, and you're in shoulder and low season, you know, obviously Chris has already come up with the vacancy rates. I mean, we have plenty of inventory available at this time, right? Have you approached the major rental companies to see if there are owners that would be willing to donate and receive a tax benefit as it relates to that?
We have. That's the back side of the card I gave you. We're always targeting beach house owners. We have targeted them across the state. We have been to rental companies because, you know, while donations and grants are great, anytime we can drive the cost of the lodging rental down, that goes exponentially across the number of families we can help. We've had some homeowners commit 2 weeks verbally. They haven't. We haven't been able to follow through with those yet, and we have approached several rental companies, and they say that they will pass their information out to their clients, because there are some people who say we will give a week, a month to, a week, a year. And so, like I said, we're new. The IRS sanctioned us in December, or deemed us nonprofit status. So we're looking to build our program, build our brand, and get more awareness out there. We've had a successful first year, and we really think that we'll continue to grow each year. Hopefully, very shortly, be able to do one vacation a month. But we're here today trying to get started.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? Okay, Nicole, would you do a roll call? You got to make a motion. I'm sorry.
I wanted to have, are we going to have just further discussion first, or are we going to make a motion?
I think and then we'll have discussion. There were any other questions.
Any other questions for her?
No.
Somebody wants to put a motion on the floor? Because he wants to discuss it.
Is there a motion on the floor?
I think we have a motion. We have a second.
We don't have a motion. No, we don't have a motion. I need a motion.
That's what I'm saying. We'd have to have a motion first and a second, and then we would have discussion.
Yeah, right. I think that's what the chair was asking.
Yeah.
Do we have a motion? The motion would be to approve the grant application.
I make a motion that we approve the grant application.
Do I have a second? I'll second that. Now we can discuss it. Did you want to?
I guess she made the motion. I assume she would go first.
I made the motion. I'd like to hear what you have to say. I made the motion, so we'll have the discussion.
The purpose of the motion, I believe, was to make the just okay. have the discussion.
How much money do we have
discussion.
Available? And I apologize for not keeping track.
I believe 10,000.
$2.7 million in the.
Okay, so we have. And then is that for us for grants?
So every year in the budget, we put $50,000 for programs and sponsorships.
Okay.
Last month, this committee recommended $30,000 for the elevator at the VFW, and has already committed $10,000 earlier this year to
The
IOP chamber.
And so $1,000 to the surf club.
And $1,000 to the surf club. So that leaves about $9,000 left. However, that $50,000, it's a placeholder in the budget. Because we have excess funds in our fund balance, the committee can still make a recommendation that exceeds the $50,000 threshold in the budget, and it'll be up to council to approve it. But we have enough funds to allow for that if that is the will of the advisory committee.
And that's through March of next year?
That's correct.
Okay.
It's through
June 30th.
Okay, sorry. Thank you.
Even though I have family members too, like Gloria, that passed from cancer, I feel being in the medical community, there are other there are agencies that provide for this. I don't think this I have the grant application guidelines, and it's designed for promoting local community tourism. I do not feel that, even though this is a wonderful foundation, I think there are other places to go. Also, it may set a precedence that unintended consequences. This is, to me, more of a social-based issue than a tourism issue. So I agree with Gloria. I would not agree to this.
Okay. Doug?
Here's the way I analyze it, so you'll know what my thinking is, because I know you're a good organization. I've sort of checked you out. You're a good person, and you're doing the Lord's work, so to speak. So all of us appreciate that. Here's the way I looked at it. This is the way I evaluate the grants. The first thing I did was want to apply the law. Second, look at the our guidelines that we have on the island about what we find to be acceptable. We're supposed to follow the law, despite what our heartstrings might tell us. We've got to comply with the law, and we've got to follow our guidelines. One of the first things I did was look at the Turk decisions in the past to see whether or not they had found this kind of activity acceptable. Unfortunately, I couldn't find anywhere they said that this was an acceptable expense. I reached out to the city to see if the city could find any interpretation by Turk that this would meet our guidelines or the law. It doesn't mean that you won't in the future. One of the big problems, unfortunately, is that you have been in existence for more than a year, haven't been in existence more than three, so we don't have a track record to go by. That's probably my primary concern. I see that it's a Folly Beach organization. That's good. It's a beach community. You understand. You're reaching out. I can't tell at this point in time from which pot of money Folly Beach paid, whether from, because they operate under a different paradigm.
Three committees.
you're a 501c. You qualify according to the Secretary of State. You've been in existence again for more than a year, but not for three. So again, don't have a track record. You have a website. That's all good. I see you paid them $300 and it's a reputable company in Sumter. I think they've been in existence since 2018. I couldn't tell how much traffic there is. No criticism, just not a lot of historical data, unlike CBB that mines this data, and they know how many people are visiting sites and can faithfully report that to us. I see that the grant is to be for residents of South Carolina only, but it's for people from more than 50 miles away, so that would qualify. I'm having a lot of trouble to see whether it qualifies under our guidelines with our criteria for putting heads on bids. We make very clear and we highlighted in our application, this is for the funds are to be used for the purpose of promoting local community tourism and tourism-related activities in accordance with South Carolina law. The $6,000 grant, $4,000 will be for the short-term rental component. That'll generate, I think, $80. So we're paying out $4,000 to generate $80 in revenue. But that's not the end of the thing for me. What you've said is a very good point, which was you hope that this you can communicate with medical providers and tell them all the things that the Isle of Palms has to offer, and that's kind of a way you get around that, and you hope that that'll work for the future. And I wish you the best of luck in that regard. Next, under our criteria, one of them is community support. It may have been Chaz that asked this question. Do you have the rental agencies here that are behind you, the chamber behind you, people that provide lodging that might be an alternative? I know we have at least one member on this committee that generously provides one of his rental houses for free during the off season, and that might be an alternative. There are a lot of very, very generous people here who would, I'm sure, would accommodate you, but I don't see that at this point in time. Again, no criticism. It's just kind of the timing, and as far as I'm concerned, factor in what dollars are available and what will be available for others. The Exchange Club, the Lens Program, other island nonprofits that are here. That
also do very good work and have been here for a long time. The one of the important factors that we have, and this is kind of where I am at this point, what is the economic benefit to leverage and to raise A taxes for the Isle of Palms specifically? And I want to encourage you to keep coming, and I think you're wise to come here because you got to start somewhere. But until we have a track record where we can show that the that our taxpayers' money is being well spent, I can't vote for it. I'd like to, and if we can get data that shows that you are generating enough ATAX money for the city to justify it, I'll change my mind in the future. I hope that it explains it, because again, I think you're doing great work. I have to look at this thing logically, and I hope I've explained my position. And no offense, I know you're a lovely person, but I just can't understand how it qualifies under our good guidelines. I went the extra step and looked to read our Turk Oversight Committee minutes to see whether this would be something that they found to be acceptable. They don't catch it every time, unfortunately, but if they do, it's going to cost us. We have to pay the money back, so mm-hmm. we paid it out and we get hammered twice.
Okay, I would... I agree with a lot of what we've heard here. I don't think I can vote in favor of it, because I question whether it qualifies under the law and all. However, I would say if you can get, because the only benefit that I think you can possibly, or not benefit, but the only way you can really convince me that it would comply is if your efforts in the doctor's offices and in all of those activities where you have realized stays, like at Folly, if you can show how, like if you can have evidence of showing how that brought people to Folly subsequently after they heard about the story and heard about that, I think that would be some compelling evidence that could sway some votes here. But at this point in time, I would just say I would be looking for more historical data on showing that it's bringing in more rental income, more tax revenue as well. So, any other discussion? Nicole, would you do a roll call, please?
Sure. Ms. Reckness. Ms. Lorenz?
I'm going to say no.
Ms. Kovalich?
No.
Mr. Trussell?
No.
Mr. Burns?
Nay.
Mr. Akers?
Nay.
Ms. Berkner?
Yay.
Ms. Clark?
No.
Motion fails.
Thank you for your time.
Great, thank you.
I think there are a few people up here who definitely, I can help you with the donations if you need some help on the personal side of things.
Okay, thank
Absolutely.
You. Okay. Do you have a card, or maybe I can just
I'll get
your...
Afterwards.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Next item is a discussion of projects and initiatives for collaboration with CBB within 30% allocation. That's something that I added to the agenda. I've been working a little bit with Laurie talking about this subject, and what I noticed in doing some research is that different municipalities are using the 30% money within their DMO to accomplish projects that help the municipality in understanding where their revenue is coming from and what they should be concentrating on. An example would be
Hilton Head, they contracted with the University of South Carolina, Beaufort, and they had a study called Destination Marketing Organization Industry Metrics. So they worked together, and it was paid through the DMO of the 30% that they paid, obviously, South Carolina, Beaufort. And they came up with goals and tactics on how to market the Hilton Head in that case. And it's similar to Chaz's point about using the family aspect in our marketing, and using in some of the city council people have said, you know, we're interested in having an influence on how our island is branded. And so all of that comes together in my way of thinking, that if we can work with CVB on projects that we would like to see them really head up, but with our involvement. An example would be, for instance, if on our behalf CVB went to College of Charleston in their tourism department. We've spoken a lot over the past couple of years about metrics. And, you know, I don't know what the right metrics are, and but there are experts that do know. And so maybe they can contract with College of Charleston and come up with meaningful metrics that we can then measure the success of the marketing campaign. So we would work with CVB in terms of telling them what we're looking for, and then they can go to College of Charleston, get something developed, and with our new public relations coordinator, tourism coordinator, it would be something that we might be able to develop some information. Now, that's just an example. I'm not advocating that's what we do. I'm just saying I think there's an opportunity here for us to have an influence on where our money is being spent. And I put this on there on the agenda to try to reach out to all the committee members, who then also can reach out to residents and say, you know, do you have any ideas on how that money, understanding the money has to be used relative to tourism promotion, but how that money could be used to benefit the island. And so that's my pitch. And I don't know if anyone has any thoughts about it. Laurie and I have already spoken about it, and I think it's a possibility. No thoughts.
Ray, I agree with you. You cannot benefit tourism if you don't benefit the island. It's a quid pro quo. You cannot have a rundown island with very few amenities and be able to reach out and promote tourism.
I would say that state law recognizes that, which is why 65% of the total of state accommodations tax that the city receives, there is more flexibility on utilizing those for services and amenities that impact tourism. The 30% is a little bit different, that it has to be specifically for tourism development. So the entire bucket of state accommodations tax is divided between the 65% and the 30%.
But the 30% based on, I see that, but there's the money, this is my opinion, the money needs to come back to Isle of Palms, that 30%. Completely to Isle of Palms to be used for tourism and not other areas.
That is not what state law says, though. That is not how state law requires requires municipalities to utilize that 30%. Not on Isle of Palms, but to generate tourism promotion of Isle of Palms. And certainly bring heads and beds, which is why I think the presentation focuses on, you know, how successful they have been or can be to bring more people to the island. But the 30% cannot be, it has to be used specifically how state law requires, but which is for tourism promotion.
Even though this money has come exclusively from the Isle of Palms rentals.
Correct.
Okay. Any other thoughts, comments?
And we can, if anybody has any, I have the state, I have the law right here. If you, I can give you the copy or read it to the record.
Why don't you read it to the record?
Sure.
Are you just reading from South Carolina Code 6, Section 6-4-10? Is that?
Yes, that is correct. Okay. 30% of the balance must be, and this is subsection 3, 30% of the balance must be allocated to a special fund and used only for advertising and promotion of tourism to develop an increased tourist attendance through the generation of publicity. To manage and direct the expenditure of these tourism promotion funds, the municipality or county shall select one or more organizations, such as a Chamber of Commerce, Visitor and Convention Bureau, or Regional Tourism Commission, which has an existing, ongoing tourist promotion program. If no organization exists, the municipality or county shall create an organization with the same membership standard in Section 6425. To be eligible for selection, the organization must be organized as a nonprofit organization and shall demonstrate to the municipality or county that it has an existing, ongoing tourism promotion program, or that it can develop an effective tourism promotion program. Immediately upon an allocation to the special fund, a municipality or county shall distribute the tourism promotion funds to the organization selected or created to receive them. Before the beginning of each fiscal year, an organization receiving funds from the accommodations tax from a municipality shall submit for approval a budget of planned expenditures. At the end of each fiscal year, an organization receiving funds shall render an accounting of the expenditure to the municipality or county which distributed them. Fees allocated pursuant to this subsection must not be used to pledge the security for bonds and to retire bonds. Also, fees allocated pursuant to this subsection must be allocated to a special fund and used only for advertising and promotion of tourism to develop an increased tourist attendance through the generation of publicity, and not used to pledge as security for bonds and to retire bonds. That is the entire section.
Okay. Okay. Time to move on to the next item.
I wanted to respond to that just briefly, if I can. I respect what you've said, but I disagree fundamentally. CVB has indicated that they're open to suggestions. They've asked us for suggestions. We've talked about what promotion means. I would submit that very much in good faith they're being open to considerations about how we can spend the money. They're not asking to spend this money for bonds. It's not for police. It's not for fire. Promotion can mean a lot more than simply buying an ad in a magazine. Again, I'm being redundant, but Laurie and Chris have both said they're open to suggestions.
Sure.
Some creative things. We don't have any. We've got the limited law we have is. Has no interpretation of what promotion means. I agree with Rebecca. We owe it to the citizens of our community see that our money is well spent, and we need to communicate well with CVB. They're our trusted DMO, and I know they'll listen to what we say. So if we can spend our money to benefit our tourists here, it helps our citizens. Everybody's happy. I see it as a win-win to try to do what we can to promote tourism on the island. It doesn't mean we have to spend it elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I just want to make sure that we follow what the state law definition is for tourism expenditure. Because there's been so many questions about it. That's why I just read directly from state law. I know that there's different interpretations of that. And that's why I think that, you know, the exercise is one that's very worthwhile, trying to identify what those opportunities are that could be used with the 30% money. But just making sure that it follows the definition in state law. That's all I'm advising, okay, and just making sure that we have that top of mind.
Okay. For the benefit of everybody that may not know this, and I hope it wasn't too subtle, when I was talking about police or bonds or some other things, I was referring, you know, we know Myrtle Beach got in trouble. You have to look beyond the statute. You have to look at how it's been interpreted by the courts. So we know that for bonds, for police, for fire, for things that don't promote tourism, you can't spend it. But if it's for tourism, I think they're going to be wide open and help us out if they can.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as it's for tourism promotion. Yeah.
And I see Laurie raising her hand. Or maybe she's giving me a thumbs up. I'm not sure.
I don't want to interject if I'm not supposed to. We'll comment if you'd like.
Okay. We'll have more to talk about that in future meetings. Next item is review of ATAX application guidelines. Now, I don't have anything on that.
There is a one page on your packet, in your packet.
Yeah, well, I have that. Well, I think I have that.
It should be at the end. So last month you all...
You mean the one with the timeline?
No, there's another. It's called, it's titled City of Isle of Palms Accommodations Tax Grant Application Questions and Required Documentation.
All right, that was not in my... if it was in my packet, I never saw it.
Do you have it? I don't have extra copies.
Oh,
you got it, too? Yep, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I must have missed it because
okay.
I.
Looks like that.
Well, we don't, you know, we can maybe just start the conversation today. So last month, y'all recall, I think, back to the document you were referring earlier about the timeline.
Right.
That we discussed streamlining the process and receiving all the applications at the same time, calling applicants at the same meeting to,
Sandy
to the rescue. You got it, Rebecca?
Yeah.
All right, good. You got it,
yeah.
Doug?
Did you see it?
Do you have a copy? Did you find it in the packet?
I had it. Ray was saying he was...
It was on the back of the...
So we talked about last month about just the process per se, issuing an advertisement in December, getting, you know, all the applicants together for interviews for you all, and then all of you making a recommendation at once for just that programs and sponsorships piece. So the question was asked about maybe streamlining the application process, the application per se. So this document is not what you will see online and certainly want to get your feedback on, but the idea was to have an application online that people would fill in and kind of simplifying it a little bit. One of the things that we constantly hear from folks that are submitting applications is that the application itself is a little bit redundant and complicated and, this is an opportunity for us to address those things. So I've looked at applications from other communities, Lufton, Hilton Head, Buford, just across the board, to see how they do it. And, you know, it's very streamlined, kind of simple application, very specific requirements of what people need to provide. And another opportunity is some of the questions in this application, in my opinion, I certainly would want to hear what the committee feels. Are questions that may be more appropriate for an interview, for when you're interviewing and talking to these applicants. So you can still utilize some of the questions in our current application and just have those be part of the interview process. But what this tries to do is just simplify the requests that we and the documents and the information that we want people to provide. And the idea would be to have this fully online, and that way people are not... You know, some people write it, you know, by hand. It's difficult to read. There's not a whole lot of space, I guess, between the questions. So this is just an opportunity for you all to review that, make sure that the application includes all the information you want to see when you're evaluating a request ahead of time. And then certainly we can have a discussion at your next meeting about what kind of questions do we want to see or you all want to hear from or ask from of the applicant. So
like a checkoff sheet.
That's a checkoff sheet. Mm-hmm. So I'll just go for the benefit of the record. The questions or the information that would be requested by an application would be obviously the name of the event or the project, the organization that's sponsoring the event, and the contact person, mailing address, telephone number, email, the amount that's requested, the date the funds are needed, location of the specific event or project, and then a little bit more detail into, you know, describing the event or the project in detail. Description must include the title, timing, financial results, costs, and other resources of revenue for the project. Must include other ATEX award collections and how the organization will support and manage the event or the project. We would be requesting a detailed budget of the event, also including all anticipated revenues and expenditures associated with the event and the project. Number 11, tourism impact. We'd be requesting information, specific information about the number of tourists that would be generated by the event or the project, including a description of the method used to determine the tourism impact, providing a percentage breakdown of the persons that will benefit from the event, whether that's between tourists, those that are spending the night coming from more than 50 miles and expected to spend the night on Isle of Palms, versus day trippers. We've heard that question earlier. We'd be requesting a marketing plan, asking our applicants to provide a detailed marketing plan that will be used to increase tourism as a result of the event. Number 13, financial information. Requesting for a detailed accounting of revenues and expenditures, including receipts for prior events or projects. We've indicated here that failure to do so will render an application ineligible. And we're also requesting a copy of the organization's audited financial statements for the last 2 years. And for smaller organizations, they could provide an audit review. That's sort of standard. Sometimes fully audited financials are very expensive. So that's just an option for you all to consider about in lieu of 2 years of audited financial statements. And then we'd be requiring folks to provide insurance documentation, naming the city as an additional insured, and also executing a hold harmless agreement, waiving the city from any liability. So I kind of took, and I have copies of the current application if y'all want to see it. I think y'all are.
I never want to see it again.
You know, well, and, you know, we kind of took a lot of the questions that are being asked from this application and incorporating into this, but I thought that maybe some of the other questions may be more appropriate for an interview. But that's just a suggestion. Certainly want to hear from you all on the path. And the idea would be to put this application out by December when we're going to be procuring applicants so that we have this in place so we can fully kind of streamline and simplify a little bit the process for folks.
And the intent is to anybody who has submitted an application in the past, you would be in touch with them to tell them about the new process. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes. Our goal, you know, we have a contact information. What we would do is reach out to everybody that's received funding in the past several years just to let them know, make them aware that we're doing this once, you know, a year, and then that's it, not on a rolling basis like we've been doing it. Are there any information that's missing from what we would be requesting? I'd like to hear from you all. Anything in addition to that?
So the only thing I can think of when we were trying to remove a lot of detail and kind of doing that for the interview process, and I can appreciate that, is that we don't ultimately have the voting approval that actually council does, and that they need the basis of information for them to actually vote. Mm-hmm. So that would be my only concern. It would be the transference of an interview information to council. That's it.
I'd like to weigh in if it's appropriate. If you can pass a copy of this down to Gloria and Barbara, and if you flip over the top where you can see an application guideline, 2 years ago when I first, well, in I guess it was January in, of 2021 when I came on this committee, we had an application process that I thought was woefully inadequate as far as transparency and accountability was concerned. With the assistance of the city manager, we looked at practices, best practices around the state. We specifically looked, as you did, what Desiree, what you did with Mount Pleasant, which was good, trying to streamline things, make them be more efficient, but at the same time make sure that we were faithful stewards of the public's money. So we came up with the basic guidelines and application that is before everybody here today. And we knew that we thought that it needed to be tweaked. And you agreed. What we wanted to do was have an application process and a timeline. So to assist you and to assist city council when they were setting the budgets. On the application itself, it doesn't seem to be particularly onerous. It's 1, 2, 3 pages counting the front and back. Really, the only change we made was we wanted to make clear on that grants aren't finalized until the city budget is approved each year. They can't have the money if the city doesn't approve it. On the guidelines, we tweaked those, and that's information to assist everybody when you look at this. And I would hope to interact with you, and that's why I called and sent emails, that we wanted to make this to be as convenient for you as possible. What we proposed was that we have an advertising or solicitation by a certain date. I just for everybody's edification, I just put in November 15th because it seemed to give them time to, from November 15th of this year, we tell people that the grant process is available. If somebody comes from Folly Beach and hopefully they can show that they can bring tourists, they can put in an application. And they'll know. We need to have, as does Mount Pleasant and does Kiowa and most people around the state, have a deadline. We can make it whenever we want, but January 15th might be one.
So last month we went through that whole timeline and process, right. Agreed to a different. To a timeline.
What I said is I didn't care about what days, but we need to have a timeline.
We do. I think Ray has a copy of what we discussed last month.
And it can just be attached to the guidelines rather than undoing what we've already done. I think it's clear. We need to be accountable and transparent. And I don't want to go in reverse. We want to be as positive and as we can be. We want to be good stewards for our community. We want to be fair to the people that seek the grants. In the past, what we've had is we've had a situation where people get grants. They might disappear and never have any accounting. We've spent money and then it's gone and they're gone. So,
yeah, and last Doug, I don't we think discussed, we discussed including as part of that process requiring a final report. So a 6-month report mid-year after they receive funds, and then a final report at the end of the fiscal year with a full accounting, which is included in that recommendation. Because I agree, I think we didn't really close the loop after funds were being issued, so that would be part of the recommendation that we have everybody provide a final report on how they spend the money that they received.
Yeah, I don't think we're going backwards. That wasn't the intent on this whatsoever. The intent was to change our process so that all the applications come at one time during the year, so that they, let's say in the spring, which is when the city budget process is going on, so the city can fashion the budget according to what they're seeing in grant applications. So we would meet once a year on that, not going through grant applications 6 times a year or however many times we get them. So it was an effort at not going backwards. The effort was actually going forwards with being more efficient on the use of our time and the use of the whole idea of budgeting properly and all that. So let me just ask, what you're asking us to do now is take the application, take the information we have now today, and come back in November with fine-tuning what our suggestions are?
Yes. What I would recommend is, you know, look at the current application.
Yeah.
And I think that there's some information here that may be either redundant or more appropriate for an interview question. But if there are, and what we try to do is make sure that everything from this application was reflected on on this one pager that's included in your packet. So I would just want feedback from you all to ensure that whatever questions and documents we're requesting from applicants includes all the information that you would want to see when evaluating an application.
Can we get back to you in the interim so we don't have to...
Yeah, I think I was just going to say the same thing, Barb. Like, over the course of the next few weeks before the next meeting, give you our feedback.
Yeah.
So then it can be condensed and be in one form.
That would be great.
We'll need a final document, I think.
Final document, but
rather than keep going back and forth and back and forth, let's get something done in the between meetings, and so that it's.
And we can prepare a final draft for you all to review and approve at your next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Last item on the new business agenda is discussion of Post and Courier article. I don't personally have anything to really say about that, but there were some members of this committee who requested it be on the agenda to discuss it, and I thought it was a meaningful thing to discuss. So I would open up the floor to committee members to make their comments or prompt discussion. So if there are no discussion necessary, then I'll move on to the next item. Next item is the date of the next meeting. Let me ask Lori, do you think CVB will be ready for the expenditure review from fiscal 22 for a meeting in November?
Yes, sir. Is due to our board next Wednesday, and our tax return is due November 15th. So anticipate that we'll be able to make a November.
Okay, I'd like to be able to talk to you during that period to make sure that it's what we want to hear, I guess, and so there's no confusion. So I don't want you to have to go back and say I don't know, and I'll get back to you. I'd rather do it. So just like with this application, let's over the course of the next month, let's work on that a little bit.
Ray, you ask a question. I'd like to ask the article that came out in the paper was not very complimentary to any of us. The ATAX committee nor the CVB. The first paragraph, if you read no more than the first paragraph, it made an impact. Being in the Post and Courier, this has gone nationwide. And I'm going to, and I'm not sure if this is part of it, but it says Frontline. This story is part of a collaboration with Frontline, the PBS series, through its local journalism initiative. I'm not sure it came in right with the article, but I want to know how we need to respond to others asking us if where does our money go? That's the question. Where does our money go? Does it go overseas? Why can't it go into a Truist Wells Fargo account? Why does it have to be sent overseas? That's the question that I have been asked after this came out. I can't answer that. But if we have people in the community asking me, then it's a lot more than just one or two people. I'm asking of you, yes,
yes,
Lord.
So specifically, are you talking about farm funds? Because that was by far the Okay. So thank you for asking that. Over the 3 months that Chris spent back and forth with the journalists, we were asked that question. We responded, and it didn't make the paper. So when we received monies from the state and the county to do business with British Airways, we went to our banker at the time, who was Wells Fargo, and said, we don't want to hedge our bets on exchange fluctuations. We want to go ahead and put this currency that is intended for international promotion into pounds, because that's how we were required to pay British Airways. So we went to Wells Fargo, who held their funds in the Cayman Islands. So it never mentions that in the article. Our funds were held with Wells Fargo, who held their funds in the Cayman Islands. We have since pulled that money back and left. We still do business with Wells Fargo, but we moved our foreign account to do business with a regional bank, First National. So First National holds their funds in a different location. But we have always been with a valid banking institution when we converted those funds into pounds.
Was this prior to the British pound sterling losing their value?
Well, fluctuations occur every day.
I mean, this was significant. This wasn't just a little fluctuation. It was significant.
Well, we had a lot of money that we knew was committed to British Airways and to international exchanges, and we didn't want to take the chance of losing value. So that's why we went ahead and made that conversion at the time. Now I wish we hadn't. I wish we'd have just hedged our bets. But we thought that was the smart... And we thought that was the smart thing to do on behalf of the State Department of Commerce in Charleston County, because we were going ahead and converting their funds. That's a decision we made at the time that, now if we could redo it, I don't know if we would or not. But the way that it was done was unfair, because we did not go to the Cayman Islands to open an account. We went to our trusted banker at Wells Fargo, who held their pounds in a Cayman account. And that was not conveyed in that article. Although it was shared with the journalist, it was not conveyed and made clear in the article. So that's a very fair question.
Well, it's good that you answered it, too.
Thank you.
Can I respond?
Yes.
All right. Understand there more than one side to everything. I wanted to talk about what we can do going forward by one fair reading of the article in whole. And I understand some of the downside, but what are we going to be doing going forward? My take on it was this committee looked good and the island looked good when we read the article. It looks like we're the one community that is being proactive, and we're seeking more accountability and oversight, transparency over something that's been neglected for years. And I understand the position that CVB is in. You're our regional marketing organization. You have a duty of allegiance to people other than us. And my takeaway of this was that maybe the Isle of Palms needs to communicate better. You've said you'd be open to promotional ideas, but you need to hear from us. And that the takeaway I came away with, one, we got the negative side where you learn and you hope it doesn't happen. And maybe whoever told you to put the money in the Cayman Islands ought to rethink what he was doing. But I want to talk about some of the positives. That we're going forward, it looks like we're having a much better exchange of information. The Isle of Palms, and if we go back and look at the last 20 years, we haven't communicated with you the way that we would looking in the rearview mirror, we haven't maybe communicated as well as we could that we want the Isle of Palms tax money spent to benefit the Isle of Palms rather than have it go somewhere else. If we don't communicate with you and give you a vision of what we want to do and what our expectation would be, then you're left to spend it as you see fit in your discretion. So I came away thinking, well, this is good. It makes us think the Isle of Palms looks better than anybody else. I understand why Folly Beach, for example, wouldn't complain because they've gotten the benefit of our largesse. So I would like to see more of the Isle of Palms tax money spent to benefit the taxpayers and our tourists that are here, and you've indicated that you are open to some suggestions in that regard, and I would appreciate that. So I understand why we study history. You want to know, you need to know where you came from in order to go forward. But from this point, I want to move forward, and my hope is that more of our money will be spent on the Isle of Palms, and that more of us, this committee in particular, and our council, will more effectively communicate with you what we think our needs and wishes are. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Okay, thanks, Laurie.
Do you want to get a date for the next meeting?
Yeah, I'm back to item six, date of the next meeting. Now, Thanksgiving week is out of the question, right?
Well, council will be combining their and having their meeting on the 15th rather than the 22nd, which is Thanksgiving week.
Right.
Just as a reminder, November 8th is the election, so this room will be unavailable for that date.
I can't think of anything that we would have on our agenda that we would need city council to vote on. So what I'm getting at is, so we don't necessarily have to be before city council meeting.
December, we have nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I think because
that application we would like to get done for the timeline of December 1.
We can meet the week later, the week of November 14th, the 16th, or the 17th, 17th.
Or 8th. Yes, yeah, any of those dates would work for me, 16, 17, 18.
I would say the 17th, maybe Thursday.
Okay.
The 17th, 11 o'clock, still a good time for everybody.
Thursday, 11:17, 11 o'clock. Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Before we do, I had made some my comments, and hopefully we can be proactive. I would, since we had this for discussion, I would propose that we make the Post and Courier articles and editorial a part of the record. Laurie, on behalf of CVB, has given us some further explanation. Rather than discussing it further, I put my comments in writing, and I would propose to make that a part of the record, which I think I'm entitled to do.
So is that a motion?
No, I don't need to make a motion. I just wanted to advise what I intended to do.
Okay. So do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
I thought this was going to be a quick meeting.
Ooh, still our meeting.